Study, and as I told you then, I don't know how many classes we're going to have on this. It just really depends on, I'm kind of making this up as we go along, I don't have a whole, you know, 6 or 8 week plan here of what we're going to do. Right now I've got 3 lessons planned. This today is lesson number 2. If we need to add more, we'll add more, but depends on how rebellious the women... No, I'm just teasing. It really depends a whole lot on how much discussion we have and all of those kinds of things. But to start out this morning in talking about, you know, today is Mother's Day, and what I want to do is just start out by helping make sure we all realize that probably the most important role that any woman could have in the church is the role of a mother. As has been said, and we talked about this, those of you who are in my Tuesday night class on the family, that as the family goes, someone said, so goes the church. And so that all-important role of the mother in the home, in raising the children, helps, and really, in so many ways, especially today, determines a lot of how the church is going to be, how strong the church is going to be because of the influence of mothers. And so, we certainly want to make sure that we understand that is the primary role. I'm convinced that God has given to women in their role in the family and in the family of the church also. As you continue in the church family, then there is certainly also the role of being a mom to all of the kids within the church family and helping to build the church up and so forth. So we just need to understand that position and that vital role of mothers and motherhood that God glorified women with within their families and also within the Lord's family, the church. So, again, just a happy Mother's Day to all of the moms. And if you did not get your Mother's Day gift, and we'll give that to you after we finish the Bible class, we still have plenty. Now, we started out last week, and we're focusing on this idea of the role, the question, what is the role of women in the church? And we kind of ran through this idea of thinking in terms of putting on a drama or a play, a performance or something that we're doing, and think about all the different parts and so forth that are played within a drama. And one of the things that we discussed was the fact that the director of that production is the one who assigns the roles that each person plays in the drama. And it's not up to the actors themselves to decide where they want to go and what they want to do. It's up to the director. He's the one that's in charge of the production. So he says who plays what role, and he says how they're to play that role and so forth. And so we, looking at that idea, then we said God is the director of his drama, and he's the one who assigns the roles as he sees fit. And we looked over in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31, where it talks about having one body and many parts, and realizing that a couple of the things that we recognize there is that, first of all, no part of the body, Paul says, is allowed to say, because I'm not this part of the body, I don't really belong, I don't fit in. But then also, no part of the body gets to look at any other part and say, well, because you're not this, you don't fit in. Okay? But the statement there that he says that God has done what? He has arranged each part of the body exactly the way he wants them to be. Right? So whatever part of the body we are, whatever role we play in the body, we have to understand that it is by God's design as the director. And I made mention of a part of the study that we did back a while ago on crazy love, and we were talking about the idea of this is God's movie. Okay, you all remember us talking about that. We're in God's movie, but it's a movie about Him. It's not a movie about us. And every single one of us has just a small part to play in God's movie about Him. But the idea here is that God has given each of us a part to play, a role in His movie, and we need to be focusing on playing the role He has given us and not trying to do something that He has not given us to do. Okay, so lots of parts, lots of roles in the movie, and we need to do what God has assigned. We talked about that is our basic responsibility. Accept the role that He has assigned and play it as He directs it. That's another important part we talked about. Again, He's the director. We don't get to play the part as we want to play it. We have to play the part as He directs it. Okay? So it's our role, but it's an assignment given by Him to be played as He directs. We also talked about the minor roles and how important the minor roles are, how vital they are to the outcome of the production as a whole. You know, so often we focus on the main characters or the lead roles, okay? And we think, well, they're the ones that are making it happen. Well, Dale and Denise, y'all are in, you know, drama and so forth. How important are those minor roles, the people that are kind of over on the side and, you know, the singers and dancers or whatever it is that they're doing? Do what?
The ensemble.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. You know, how important are they to the production, you know, of the whole thing, you
Sometimes
see?
Okay,
absolutely. But they're not just there, you know, just to take up space on the stage. They're serving a purpose, and they blend the whole production in so that it goes off, again, as the director intended and designed it to do, you see? So all of the parts, whether they're minor roles or whether they're major roles, are vitally important to the outcome of the whole production. So, oh, sure, absolutely.
A person that's lighting, a person that's sound.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like I just got done doing costumes for this last show. Nobody knows my face, and
yeah.
I'll never be on the stage.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes we've got to remember that. Sometimes we're not even recognized.
Sure. And your name may or may not be in the program, right? And if it's
right.
in there, somebody goes, who's that, right?
Exactly.
But if you weren't doing your part, then what? How would that affect the rest of
the
production?
The same goes without your tech crew. You would be on stage in the dark, naked, with no microphone.
Absolutely. So again, the emphasis here is recognizing the importance that all of the roles play within the production, not just the lead roles, not just the main characters, and so forth. So then we talk about, in God's movie, in God's drama, as it unfolds, we have gender roles. And the question then is asked, well, do they really matter? Does it matter whether, you know, we do things by gender? In other words, you know, what difference does it make whether we have men doing certain things and women doing other things, or can't everybody do everything? Well, again, the answer to that question is, what has God decided? How has He, as a director, decided that those roles are to be played out? Has God said that there are certain roles for men and certain roles for women in His Word? Okay? The answer to that is yes. Okay? And what we need to remember is that each one must fulfill his or her own role, or the work just simply doesn't get done as God planned. And that's an important aspect of this. And we say, well, the work gets done. Well, it may get done. Okay? But is it as God planned for it to get done? That's an important thing that we've got to make sure we understand. You know, again, we're going to talk here some more about, we started last week talking about the role of women in preaching in churches and so forth. Women want to preach and say, well, you know, preaching is getting done. It's you know, what difference does it make? Who does it? Well, it may be getting done, but is it getting done according to God's plan? See? And so that's an important aspect of it. Again, same way we hear about not just women preachers, but I hear about, you know, women elders and apostles in certain denominational churches and so forth. And, you know, they're doing elders' work. Does it make a difference? You know, that they're getting the work done, right? Does it really matter whether they're men or women? The answer is, yes, it does. Why? Is it because women aren't as good at doing these things as men are? No, it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's because that's the way God, who is the director, designed it to be. That's the way He planned it. So when we're looking at these different roles and different things as we're talking about it, that really needs to be the bottom line of it. Is it according to the way God planned it to be? Because otherwise, we can do just about anything we want if we don't stick to God's plan. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of folks are doing, right? One of the big problems that we have in society, and the church is being influenced often by society instead of the other way around, where we're supposed to be the light of the world, people are being influenced by the world, and we'll talk more about this in just a few minutes, the whole issue of submission and so forth. But just this whole idea of roles in terms of major roles, minor roles, and so forth, that we look at certain roles and say, well, if I can't do that role, then I'm nobody. And why are those roles reserved only for men and so forth? And these are the roles that women have to kind of accept and so forth. And we tend sometimes to take on those things in society. If you don't have the most important, in other words, if you're not number one, then you're nobody. Well, again, we mentioned this last week in looking at something that Jesus says. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. And look what he says, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So we need to understand, again, how do we become greater? It's by serving out the role that God has given each of us to do. See? But God recognizes, again, it's not a matter of that you've just got a little tiny role and so you're not important. You are important to do your role. Okay? Do what it is that you have been given to do. Otherwise, things don't work right. You see? So, we started looking at this whole issue. Again, that was one of the big questions and issues today is women preachers. And we're finding that more and more, you know, all over this area. There's a lot of churches that have women as their preachers. Is that the correct way? What about women preachers today? Those who justify it say that women are just as capable as men are. And so why can't they preach? They can preach just as well as any man. Then why shouldn't they be allowed to? And then this argument, women are doing everything else that men are doing. Again, why not preach? If they can do everything else, why can't they preach? What's the problem there? We have certain women preachers out there who are very prominent. And one as Joyce Myers, who is preaching anywhere and everywhere to anyone that'll listen to her. Yeah. As someone suggested, that she may never preach on 1 Timothy. Okay? Why? Because look at what it says. I also, Paul says, want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. That's verses 9 and 10. Then in verses 11 and 12, he says, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. Okay? Now, this is the passage that many women don't really like, and they don't want to talk about it a whole lot. And of course, there's all kinds of reasons that they give as to why Paul put this in here. But what we need to understand, Paul doesn't talk about the customs of the time, because that's one of the arguments that people give and say, well, you know, that was back then, 2,000 years ago, the customs and so forth. And Paul was addressing a problem in the church in Corinth at the time. It doesn't apply to us today. Paul, in his reasoning in verses 13 and 14, goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one who deceived, it was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. That is By the way, where did Paul get that from? Where?
Genesis.
No. He got it from the Holy Spirit, didn't he?
Oh,
okay. Okay, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. In other words, people say, well, that's just Paul. You know, he's just... No, it's in there because God inspired it to be in there. So that's not just Paul's words, it's God's words, okay? And so they carry every bit of authority as all the rest of the Scriptures do. And we need to remember that. Just because we don't like what it says doesn't mean we can discount it and say Paul just doesn't like women and he's picking on them and so forth. And I mentioned then also real quickly that in some of the study notes, like I have in my Bible there, that the study notes there to kind of deflect some of this passage and so forth say that some believe that Paul here prohibited teaching only by women not properly instructed. And our answer to that is that we're saying, well, if that's the case, if that's all that Paul was talking about, then we can assume then that it's okay for women who are not properly instructed to teach other women or children just as long as they don't teach men, which is absolutely ridiculous. Why would we want anybody, man or woman, teach who's not properly instructed to be teaching? Would we allow someone, a man, to come in here and teach and preach who's not properly instructed in the Scriptures?
Amen.
The answer is no. Not on my watch is not going to happen, okay? That doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. And we're not going to, it doesn't matter whether they're teaching men or they're teaching women and children. It doesn't matter. If they're not properly instructed, we're not going to allow them to teach, period. You see? And so this, again, is it's an attempt to try to soften what Paul is saying here. And but you see, when men start trying to reason things out, it doesn't come out very well. So is this what this passage is really all about? You know, that Paul is basically trying to muzzle women, silence them so they're not allowed to give their opinion. Is Paul against women? That's what many have charged, that Paul just simply was against women. And so he's trying to oppress them, and that's a word that many use today in talking about the role of women and so forth, that women in the church are oppressed because they're not allowed to do all of the things that men are allowed to do. Now, there's another thing that folks use, area of the Scriptures, and that is Deborah. Those who want to talk about, you know, women being able to take leadership roles, and not just preaching, but being elders and, you know, those churches that have them, apostles and all these other roles that they're doing, that they've turned to Deborah and used Deborah as an example. Say, well, Deborah was a judge of Israel. Okay, and if Deborah is able to do that, then why can't women today? God allowed her to do it and be a leader of the whole Israelite nation. So if she could do that, then why can't women do take leadership roles in the Lord's church today? Here in Judges chapter 4 and verse 4, it identifies Deborah was a prophetess. Okay, the wife of Lapidoth. She was judging Israel at that time. Okay, so what about Deborah and this whole thing? Turn over to Judges chapter 4 and notice something that I think is very significant in this whole thing. Why was Deborah the one who God had chosen to be the leader of the Israelite people at that time? Right? Was it because there was no man that was qualified to be a leader in Israel? So God had to choose a woman? Well, I don't think that that's the true answer. I do think that the answer to it, at least in part, and this is my understanding, you can disagree with me if you want to, my understanding of what's going on with Deborah is a problem that we have today within our homes and within our churches, is that men are abdicating their leadership role to women. In other words, they're not accepting the responsibility that they have to be the leaders, and so they're allowing women to take those leadership roles that God did not give them. And I think that's what's happening here. Notice what happens. Here we got another situation where the Israelites are being oppressed by their enemies, okay? And Deborah is the one who is the leader of the people. And look in, we'll start there, the end of verse 4, what we just read here. Verse 5, she held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to hear her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hand." All right, so that's what the Lord had spoken that he wanted to have done. All right, verse 8, Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." All right, and then Deborah in verse 9 says, "Very well, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." What's the problem here that you see? There's an indication, at least that I have, that the men at that time of Israel are not willing to be the leaders that they need to be.
Absolutely.
Okay? And here, by, you know, Deborah tells him, okay, here's what the Lord says, wants you to do. And he says, well, I'm not going to go unless you go with us. See? Wait a minute, didn't the Lord just say, I want you to do this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to do what the Lord says unless you go with me. That's his answer. Is there a problem with that?
Yes.
There should be, right?
Big problem.
Okay? Because the Lord made it clear what he wanted Barak to do. But Barak abdicated his leadership, the role that God had given him. He abdicated that to Deborah. Now, obviously, I think it is, obviously Deborah is a well-qualified military commander, right? I mean, she led the Israelites in this successful military campaign, so she had the capability to do it, right? So what's the problem?
That wasn't what they told.
Do what now?
He did not ask her to do it.
Didn't ask her to do it.
Well, it wasn't what he was told to do.
Yeah. It was not according to God's plan. You see? The capabilities, abilities, desires, and all those other things have absolutely nothing to do with it. Not a thing. The only thing that should matter is this is what God said to do. All right? And if Barak had enough faith in God, and that's his problem, okay, to obey what God told him to do, God would have given him that success. But understand, especially in that particular time, okay, the dishonor that came to Barak as a military leader, the fact that his counterpart of his enemy was not killed by him, but rather by a woman. To those folks back then, that was shameful. I mean, it's the whole idea of in battle back then, you don't get captured by your enemy, what do? You fall on your sword. Why? Because that's the honor and all those kinds of things. But to be done in by a woman, okay? And that's what happened. That brings shame upon Barak amongst the people. Ray?
I'm glad that this was, that the law better term, the cowardice of Barak. And Deborah said, this is the honor now, it's not going to be yours.
That's right.
And see, sometimes things like this get out of hand, even in this day and time. So maybe my brother run over there to this very scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to give an example as to why a woman should leave. But is that a good reason for them to be leaders?
Right.
You know, and I fought Barak for that because he should have done what God said to.
Exactly.
When we decide to do things other than end up like Saul, that's what I'm saying about.
Mm-hmm.
Not honoring and obeying God, you're going to do things his way.
Right.
And when we do things that way, we're going to be punished for it.
Exactly.
We cannot please two masters. He's going to love the one and hate the other. We need to make sure that we love God and obey him.
Right.
Because this is shameful.
Absolutely.
Right here.
Absolutely. So we see this as an example here from the standpoint of what happens when men abdicate what God has given them to someone else. It certainly is not pleasing to God at all. The other part of this that we have to understand is, when did this occur? Under what time period of the Bible? In the Old Testament time, okay? And certainly I think there are other examples of where God, you know, used different people to accomplish his will, right? I mean, he even used the enemies of Israel to accomplish his will.
Absolutely.
All right? So one of the things we have to be careful of is that we say, well, because it was okay in the Old Testament, that it must be okay in the New Testament. But we live under a different law, do we not?
Yes.
You see? So though we can learn from things from what the Old Testament teaches us, we've got to be careful that we don't try to take those things from the Old Testament and say, well, they did it over there, so it's okay to do it now. And that's what a lot of people do, and using Deborah as their justification for taking upon leadership roles that God did not give them. When the New Testament plainly says, as we saw a moment ago, they're not allowed to do it, God says, this is not how I want it to be done, then that's what we need to follow. Not an example from the Old Testament where God, for his reason, in that part of his movie, okay, decided that that's how he wanted that particular part to play out. All right? Any other thoughts or comments on that at all? Yeah, go ahead.
One thing, it says, the scripture tells us in Sunday time, God winked. Mm-hmm. That, he allowed certain things to happen.
He did that.
You know, but under grace and truth, there's no law made. It's for us to accept. We need to do it his way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of things that God tolerated that the Israelite people did under the law. Look at what Jesus says in answer to the whole question of whether it's lawful for a man to put away his wife for any and every reason. You know, and he gave the reason, except it be for what? For fornication. All right? Any man divorces his wife, except it be for fornication, he marries another, he commits adultery, right? Well, then they said, well, then why did Moses command that you give a divorce decree and put her away? And what was Jesus' answer? Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, commanded that you give a decree of divorcement. But it was not so from the beginning. In other words, that was never God's design.
And they had multiple wives then, too.
Absolutely. You see? So just another example of how, yeah, they were doing things back in the Old Testament, and God did wink at some of those things. He tolerated it, okay, because of their stubbornness and their hard-heartedness. But we got to be careful again. We don't take those examples and use them as justification for what we're doing today.
Amen.
Okay? We need to stick to the Word. And the Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, telling Timothy to preach the Word.
Amen.
And to be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Why? Because the time will come, and that time is now, all
right,
and has been for a long, long time, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to do what? To suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn to myths. And so that's what's happening today. People aren't following what the Bible teaches. They're doing what they want to do.
Amen.
And there are certainly a lot of preachers who will tell them what they want to hear. Okay? They're plugging their ears from the truth, and they're lining up at the wrong entrance. Okay? I don't know if you can see those things or not. There's a big line for the ear tickling going through that one, and a very, very small line for the truth being taught there. And that's, I think, the sad situation that we have in, let's just call it, and you understand what I mean by the broad term of churches today, okay?
Yeah.
Faithful or unfaithful. Okay, so we then address this whole question of women in God's kingdom. And I think that the reason I want to focus on it from this standpoint is because it's not just about women preaching in the church today. Is that okay or is it not? That's not the main issue here. Okay? It is about what is the role that God has given women in His kingdom. Okay, not just when we come to worship service. And I think we too narrowly focus on that. Okay, it's not just about what we do in worship service. It's what is the role that God has given women in His kingdom? Whether you're talking about at home, whether you're talking about in the church in worship, whether you're talking about in the church in all of its other activities, whether you're talking about out in the workplace, what is the role that God has given women? Okay? And we need to understand, if we're going to understand that role properly, we need to also understand what is the role of men in God's kingdom. Okay? Because if we don't understand both, then we're not going to understand either of them properly. And we come to an issue that I think is really at the crux of all of the problems and the discontent that people have in going off in other directions. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church there, makes this statement: wives, do what? Submit. All right? And that, I want to suggest to you, is the main source of the problem. Because we don't, you know, that whole issue of submission today, for anybody, not just women, but for men, anybody. When people talk about submission, what generally comes to mind?
Servitude.
Okay.
Slavery,
servitude.
Oppression.
What else? I am not, if I've got to submit to someone else, then that means I am not number one. And therein is the biggest problem,
but
I'm convinced.
You're not, and the only thing is, I would say you need to go read verse 25, because verse 25 makes that much easier.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if the husband is loving his wife as Christ loved the church, she has no problem
right.
with that.
And that is true. But the problem with it is that these verses are not conditional on what he tells the husband to do.
No, they're not. They're not conditional. I'm just okay. saying that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And the problem I see is this says wives to submit. The problem is when husbands say, wives submit. No, I need to do it because God says and not because you're
right.
holding that over
exactly.
my head.
Well, we need to have a proper understanding of what this idea of submission really is. That's the real problem. Okay? And if we follow what our culture and society is saying, we don't have a proper understanding of what submission means. We've got a worldly concept, not a godly concept. Okay? So we need to make sure we understand that. Dolores?
Uh-huh, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I would suggest to you that in a lot of those cases that what men are doing is not an issue of submission. It's submission. It's an issue of abuse and, mm-hmm. and so forth. And that's not what this passage is all about.
They're not.
Okay? It's not what it's about. So, Ray, you had a comment?
No, I just want to say I like the term when it's right, wives submit. But it says, just listening to anybody else,
right?
You know, the one that they ought to be listening to. And if he's a godly man, you know, and he's doing what the Lord said in this book,
mm-hmm.
she's not going to have a problem with her own.
Right. Right. I agree with that.
That's the part I wanted to.
I agree with that. But again, I would say to you, what if you have a husband, those of you who are married, who is not loving you like Christ loved the church?
You still have that command, and in fact, even more so because you're supposed to do that to lead him to Christ.
Exactly.
And that's where it's
exactly.
even harder.
All right. So again, we need to understand the issue here is one of, as I was saying before, do we really understand what God's design for submission is really all about? Okay. And notice what he says here. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. All right? First of all, we need to be submitting to our husbands just like we would to the Lord. If you're not going to submit to your husband, then is there a problem there concerning submission to the Lord? Absolutely. You see? So, again, if I understand that part of it, then even if my husband is not loving me the way he's supposed to, then I'm still going to submit to him because I'm submitting as to the Lord. Okay, Chuck? Which, again, you're exactly right, and it goes back to the whole issue, who's the director here? It's God. It's not society, and it's not culture. So we need to look at it from the way God designed it and intended for it to be. All right, Shanika? Absolutely, and that can be done in submission, okay? But notice the next part of this, okay? And this is a part that we so often miss, all right? He says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body." Okay? "And is himself its Savior." Now, as the church submits to Christ, right, so also wives should submit in how much?
Everything.
In everything to their husband. So what is God using here for us to get a proper understanding of submission? It's His church, okay? It's His church. Is the church not supposed to be submissive to Christ? In other words, do we recognize the headship of Christ over His church?
Yes.
So therefore, the church needs to be totally submissive to Christ in how much?
Everything.
In everything. So again, does that not address some of these problems? When Christ, through the Apostle Paul, says, I don't want women to teach or have authority over men, and women say, but wait a minute, what about this and that and so forth? Is not that not part of everything?
Mm-hmm.
You say?
Russ, can you repeat something that I know you said many times before when people say something about marriage being 50-50?
Oh, yeah, it's not 50-50, it's 100-100. Because if you only give 50%, If each of you is only given 50%, what happens when somebody's not able to give their full 50%? Then you're going to come up short, right? And we all know that, you know, we're not always able to give our total of ourselves. But if each one of us is striving to give 100% of ourselves to the relationship, and those times when we come up a little bit short, then we may have 150% or 175% or maybe even 125%, but at least we've got 100-some percent rather than like 50% or 48% or whatever.
And even 100% even when the other person...
Yeah, when they're not doing what they need to be. But we need to understand this whole issue, and I'm going to leave you here with this. We need to understand this issue of submission, and I think if we understand it as He wants us to, then we shouldn't have any problem with it, no matter what our society says. Okay, because this passage, and we'll look at the other part of it next time, is not simply about the relationship of husbands and wives. It's about the relationship of Christ and His church. Okay? And so Paul is saying here, the church needs to be submissive to Christ. And when it's not, and we see that in denominationalism all around us, that's the result. Churches out there doing their own thing and doing things that don't have anything to do with what the Scriptures teach. Why? Because they're not submitting to Christ as a church. And when that happens within a home, the same thing results. All right? Okay, we're out of time. Jerry's going to be teaching class next week. And are you going to be doing Proverbs 31? Or is that...
We'll probably touch on Proverbs 31.
Okay, that's what's going to be happening. Cindy and I are going to be out of town next week, going to a work thing that Cindy has, and so Jerry's going to be teaching Bible class next Sunday. So 2 weeks from now, we'll continue with this part of our study, all right? Thank you all very much.